Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of Daytime After Dark. I am so excited. One of my favorite guys are here tonight. I mean, you know, my top three guys, you know, he's in my top three. You know, so I have a top one, top two, and he, you know, I can't even tie him in two or three, because, you know, I haven't talked to him in so long, so, but after this interview, he could slide into number two. And I'm talking about the great Ed Martinez. He's been on LLA. He inspired me to be a lawyer with Sting of. But after the trial, the impeachment trial, the Biden impeachment trial, I could wipe the floor, and I could have got the done job for the Democrats. And he was on Santa Barbara, One Life to Live, Days of a Life, Bold and Beautiful, Santa Barbara, Long Mile, Powder. Okay, but let's go down. I could tell you everything he's been on, but that might take a whole hour in itself. So I'm just going to bring on A. Now, the handsome, he's still handsome, you guys, and sexy. So let me bring him on.
Oh,
hey.
Well, that's a nice introduction. I so appreciate you saying I'm still handsome, Carly. I'm sitting across from a big mirror because I just came back from the gym, and I'm not feeling particularly handsome right now. I'm feeling kind of bedraggled, actually, but I appreciate you saying that. It's very kind of you. How are you?
Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Okay. You know, it goes Zay Eddie, you, and Kristoff. And since Kristoff, you know, passed away, was left me, so I was a widow for my, with my TV husband. Well, then I had to move Zay Eddie into the spot. So now you're my TV boyfriend, so we're one of them. we have missed you on here. I have missed you. You know, when Damon told me you were coming on, I nearly fainted. And because you haven't been on in so long, and I have missed you, and I will say this, I'm still mad about, you know, they let you go on date. I'm still mad. Ask anyone on the show. It still brings up a really sore point with me because you had this amazing role on there, and you were so amazing, and your chemistry with Lauren Coswell was off the charts, and I wanted you and who to get married, and Kate could finally be happy with a stable guy. And you and Drake, Hogerson, John had this great bromance going. And it was, well, Eduardo and John, in my eyes, had this great bromance going between you two, in my eyes. And I just love, every time you got to work with him, I was in heaven because, you know, one of my other favorite guys and you were working together, and the way you guys work together is so great, and so, you know, it was magic.
Yeah.
You guys.
Yeah, I agree.
You guys lit
we
up the screen, and you know, if you ever want me to try and get you back on dates, I will. I will, you know, call in any favor I have, anything, because right now, Dates of a Life needs you so much on there, because Gabby's in trouble, your daughter's in trouble. Well, your daughter's beyond trouble. Your daughter's arrested right now. You know, she kind of did something bad, and now she has to kind of paid the piper, and so, yeah, and I think, and Galen is leading the days of a life with the shock to everyone that they are getting rid of another, you know, family member of you, then Gabby will be the only one still on the canvas. So,
well, they,
in my opinion.
Yeah, they, they've changed, you know, they, I think the kind of conditions that they got renewed under put them into a different level of financial wherewithal. I'm not really sure. I'm just speculating about that. I don't really know. But I do know that there was some talk about everything was going to be back to the drawing boards. And I remember this, a similar thing happened 10 years ago when I was doing All My Children. In the face of the financial crisis, the big giant crash of 2008 or 9, the show this went throughout the industry, but the show was put into a situation where they called it an act of God. All actors have in their contracts that things can be changed if an act of God falls on a production, and they could make the argument, they did make the argument, if my memory is right about this, I'm not sure, but the collapse of the economy and the collapse of advertising revenue meant that the structures of the show financially no longer worked, so they just had to declare the contracts invalid, and people had to start all over again. With, you know, if they wanted to stay, they had to do it under new conditions. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that, you know, that is part of, that's always something that can go on in these situations. You know, the production companies depend on being able to turn a profit. And if they can't turn a profit, then they don't really have an excuse to continue doing business.
Well, yeah. And when you only have four soaps still on the air, you know, it's so important to have you guys back on, because you guys, you know, are amazing. You know, they already, you know, should be back on soaps. You should be back on soaps. And that's my number one pick for you guys to be back on a soap. And I was thinking last night when I was at General Hospital, and I recently interviewed Will Andrews, who's back playing Taggart and mixing things up and being, I think, bad. But he's back. Mm. So it came to my mind, wait a moment, why can't Wayne DeLuca come back to General Hospital? And so if you want me to, you know, if you want me to, you know, treat Frank, I will, like 100,000 times until I get blocked. I will, because I think, you know, you are back needed on there, and Bobby doesn't have a romance. Well, besides Scotty, okay, you're so much better than Scotty Baldwin. And and so,
well, I love
so you all. I'm sorry, you way harder than Ken Sliner, I'm sorry. But, you know, I just think, you know, you guys are needed for daytime again. And so if you need my help, let me know, because I really want to get you back on anything. And
well, that's really nice of you. Thank you very much for making that offer.
Well, I would do anything for you. And Zayadi already knows this, but I would do anything for you. So if you just want me to, you know, put a nod in the right direction, I totally will. I have no shame in that, because, you know, and I heard that you right now are working on the Bay. Oh, are you filming the Bay right now?
Yeah.
Are you going to be on it, or have you already been on it?
Yeah, I've been on it. I've done, I think, I've done several episodes over the course of, I think, three different seasons. And And the last one I had quite a lot of fun stuff to do. I'm playing, a father, like a member of a family on there, in the Ramos family. And get to be the, I'm engaged in a family there. So, yeah, I do have a part there, and, it's a great show to work on.
Well, yeah, it's a really good show. I'm not fully caught up because it's hard enough to get caught up on all the shows on my TiVo. Then I have to go online and get all caught up with that. So it might just take me until I die with all these. And I have a question I've never asked you. When you were on Bonnie Miller for the sixth season of that, for the DNA story, how was that? Because, that's such a classic show to be on.
Yeah, it was great. And Max Gale, who played Wojo on there, he and I did a series together. Yeah, later we did a series called Whiz Kids together. And I just thought he was the greatest guy, and now he's become a real dear friend of mine. He's like a brother to me, actually. But I loved doing Barney Miller. It was funny. They had me two different seasons. I'm not sure if they were in a row or if there was a year between, but I came on and played almost exactly the same plot. I was like a Puerto Rican street kid who was, involved in petty crime. And when I stole the DNA that one time, but another time I stole the doll that was a beady eyed doll that like started freaking me out. And it was pretty funny. It was a really amazing experience to work with that crew of actors, because they're so great, from Hal Holbrook on down. And I really loved the way they shot the show, too. They actually shot it live on film. They actually shot the episode very, very carefully. They spent tremendous amount of time shooting it. They perfected each line as they did it. It played like it was happening in real life, and there was a, like as if there were a live audience, because they had a laugh track. And so you had the feeling that you were in a studio, like a regular sitcom, where you're watching these actors in front of a live audience and everyone's cracking up at their funny jokes. But in truth, they were actually shooting the thing line by line by line and getting each one of them perfect. I remember showing up there at like early in the day and not actually going on camera till close to midnight, because they were my character would come in toward the end of the show, so I'd basically be in my dressing room, running my four lines all day long getting ready. But then when we went out there, it was so great, because they actually just gave you a chance to do it exactly the way you wanted to do it. So I loved it. And then when you watched it on TV, it turned out really, really funny. So it was a great experience.
I mean, are you and Max Gill still friends, by the way? Because he is
really
knocking it out of the park over on DH with his Alzheimer's disease storyline. And he's sending his father over there. And he is knocking it out like you would not believe it. He's so incredible. I'm so jealous that you got to work with him. And, I think that's one of the reasons why you should go over there. Max Gill is over there. So I have like 25 reasons why that's what I will do tonight. On 25 reasons why A. Martina needs to be back on the soap. Okay, I just forgot what I'm going to do. But I just want to say that I love what you say on Facebook all the time. I love it. I totally agree with you about the Indian stuff. I wanted to ask you, what do you think of the impeachment? I was just curious what you... Yeah, what did you think of it?
you know, I thought, you know, it was something that had to happen. I think that, you know, people say that, you know, the Democrats were gunning for him and wanted to get him from the minute. And certainly that's true of some people. But I mean, I gave him credit for about a week, and then he lied about the Indians of Standing Rock and the fact that when he rammed the pipeline through, nobody cared. He didn't get one call. Nobody cared. And what he didn't say, as he yelled about that, was that he had turned off the phones. So nobody called was his like excuse for why it didn't matter that he rammed the pipeline through, even though it was illegal, and even though 800 people were arrested, a woman got her arm blown off. I just thought, oh, I get it. I'm gonna give this guy the benefit of the doubt. And within 10 days, he like says something so egregiously horrible. So I was among the people that thought he was a terrible choice to be the president. But in any case, I thought the Democrats were forced by what he did in Ukraine. And, you know, even a lot of Republicans admitted that they made their case. It was true. They just didn't think it rose to the bar to convict him. But in my opinion, if that is not an impeachable, conviction worthy offense, then nothing is. And if you really let a person with that kind of power operate with a sense that he can do anything he wants, you know, you're basically laughing in the face of everybody in America who ever laid down their lives, went to a battlefield and died for the sake of our democracy. You're saying that the democracy can be toyed with by a man of such terrible moral corruption as that man. So I was sad that they had to do it, because I knew that it would turn into something he would use to increase, you know, his main thing is he loves to get people feeling sorry for him, and by extension, feeling sorry for themselves. He's persecuted just like you and I are, right, folks? We're all persecuted by these elite people. But the truth is, they had to do it. He's egregiously out of control. And, you know, the fact that he got away with it is unfortunate, but on the other hand, I have a feeling that it'll end up coming back to haunt him, because karma is a real thing.
I really hope so. And when I was watching this, for me, it didn't feel like a trial, because after watching you on LA Law so many years that you were on, and watched all of the casts on LA Law, number one, there should have been witnesses, and there wasn't. There should have been a lot more done with it than there was. And the Republicans so blinded by him and joined the cult of him, it's really hard. And I hope in November, come November, people will wake up and, you know, save this country, because right now we need it. But I just wanted to hear your opinion, because I see you post some stuff sometimes, so that's why I asked. And I had Susan Mutan from LA Law on a couple of times. She's been so sweet on here. I love having her on. And I have begged her for LA Law reunion. And so I'm going to beg you, too, for LA Law reunion, because I think you guys need to come back as a two-hour movie to make Colby happy, because I miss it. I miss the premise of that show. I mean, yes, I still have my Law and Order SVU, but it's LA Law was such a great show, and, you know, I wish it could have gone on forever and ever and ever, and, you know, it didn't. So, yeah, I just want to beg you to try to do a reunion. And my mom will kill me if I don't say this. She got hooked on Long Mile. She got hooked. She followed it. She followed it when you guys went to Netflix, too. and she decided to call in, even though she's in California right now. She decided to call in, but she totally loved the character Jacob. And when I told her, oh, yeah, he's coming on tonight, and she goes, tell him we need Longmire back on. And I'm like, okay, Mom, I'm trying to get my L.A. law reunion and you want Longmire? Okay. Okay,
like
and
a,
my grandma, my
shows. Your grandma came?
Yeah, and my grandma wants Santa Barbara back on. And so, you know, it's a house very well divided, which I think is funny, but since we actually have calls, which is amazing, let's bring them on. And I hope it's not any weird calls tonight because I really can't take it. 707, you're on the air.
Hi, hey, this is the guy I'm known as Alvin George. That's not my real name, but that's like you probably know who I am.
Alvin is not your real name?
No, we've spoken before. Actually, it's Chris is my real name and stuff. Actually, so.
Oh yeah. Hi, Chris. How are you, man? Good to hear your voice, man.
Okay. First of all, did you watch MTV regularly back in the 80s? I know you're particularly busy schedule, when you were making Santa Barbara, I know if it was that, but do you watch MTV with any regularity during the 80s, or not? When they were actually,
played
videos
for
that deck.
That must have been when I was watching it. I'm kind of confused now about what the dates were back when I was doing it, but I remember when it first came out, just being thrilled with it, because I've always been a music fan, and the idea to be able to see, people that you loved as musicians, to see them in stories and to see the songs, as part of productions, it was just a thrill. I used to watch it a lot.
Okay. And by the way, no offense, clarification, it was One Life to Live was a soap opera you did during the 2008-2009 television season. Almost Children was the one that Marcy Walker played Lies on. And speaking of Marcy, she did a movie she appeared in a movie with Lindsay Wagner in 1990 called Babies. I know you recently did a movie with Lindsay Wagner. Did you ever see Babies, or did you ever talk about Babies when you were working up with Lindsay Wagner or not?
When I worked with Lindsay, I wasn't aware of the fact that she'd worked with Marcy. I wish I would have been aware of it. I think you posted about that. You asked me about that sometime recently. But by the time I worked with her, I didn't know. So I had no clue about that. But that's something that obviously Lindsay and I have in common. And I got to say, working with Lindsay was an amazingly wonderful experience. She's someone I've always looked up to as an actor. And, it's funny, Chris, three times during the course of the movie, Christmas on the Range was our movie. It's a wonderful movie. She, three times, Lindsay said to me, I like what you're doing, but in the scene, but if you were to, when we were rehearsing, I like what you're doing in the scene, but if you were to try to do it this other way, then that would allow me to do this other thing that I would like to do. And so I tried out the way that was in her mind, and every time it made the scene way better. So I just thought, not only is she a great actor, but she's got wonderful ideas almost as a director on the set, kind of. And she's not afraid to, to speak about them, to share them. So I just always have a special place in my heart when you work with somebody who makes you better just by being around them, working with them. And she's one of those people. I still harbor, an appetite to work with Marcy. And I'm actually, it's among the things that I'm working on in the world, is to try to get something together for us to do. That the main thing I do these days is write. And I'm writing, I'm writing a show, a pilot for a series but I'm also in the early stages of trying to figure out a movie that I could do with Marcy. So that those are on the burner for me, because just like you, man, I hold Marcy in the highest regard and think that she's a possessor of magic, and I would like to be working with her again.
Before I go, let me say that like a big reason why I've been like interested in MTV lately is because Martha Quinn was one of the original MTV VJs when it launched in 1981. Like, and she currently does like a morning show for a terrestrial radio station, and like you know, in my basic neck of the woods, and like it'd be, and she has also acted. And I wonder how things would have turned out if Martha even had a brief stint on Santa Barbara, maybe as a reporter or something. So like,
what was her name again?
Martha Quinn.
Did she do that that kind of part on Santa Barbara?
No, but it would be interesting if she did. But no, like she did it on other shows, like Full House and stuff like.
Oh, that's right. Of course, yeah. Well, yeah, I know. It's always cool when people get to do the thing they can really do, like in a show. Like I know in our show, sometimes we would bring musicians, great singers would come and supposedly show up at the, like Jeffrey Osborne would show up at Joe and Kelly's wedding at the Capitol Mansion, you could believe that CZ Capitol could afford to hire him, but it was such a cool thing to have a guy that great show up and perform for us. And I remember Michael Feinstein came and played, and it's really, really cool when you get to actually have people that are really good at something come and guest on a show, bringing their expertise as part of their character. That's always really fun. I like that a lot.
All right. Thanks. Thank you, Alec. I'm going to go now. Thank you. Good night.
Okay, man. Good to talk to you, Chris. Good luck to you, man.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. He was off that. Okay, I'm going to bring on Bobby now.
Okay.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Abe. It's good to talk to you, because I talked to your daughter about, I would say about 2.5 years ago when we had her on the show, and she is a great actor.
It's been more than 2 years,
life.
Honey. But that's okay.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, good to hear your voice again, man.
Yeah, but I didn't talk to you at the time because of the busy schedule I was going through at the time, but I did talk to your daughter when she came on the show.
Okay.
We love your daughter.
That's right. I remember hearing that.
Because she was on Young and Restless at the time.
Yeah.
And it would be great to have her back on the show, or even, and I know at the time, I think I talked about possibly had Camille decided to leave Dave full time, because she was like, because Gabby was MIA for 3 months at the time and not seen Harley because of her other projects and Lifetime movie she was working on at the time. I was worrying at the time that Camille might have been gone from the show, because that would have been a perfect opportunity for your daughter to be part of the Gabby recast had they gone through doing it. But luckily her show canceled and Camille was happy with what she did on Days. It's just that she took a couple of months off, because I was a little bit worried that there was no Gabby on there. I was like, oh, okay, where is she? Because this came about the same time that the water went to jail, if I recall.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell Devin that you said that, actually. That would really make her happy.
But it would be great to get her back on Soap, just like it would be great to see you back, Randy, back on General Hospital or Days. But it seems interesting, because you worked with Nancy LeGrand on Santa Barbara, but who would know that 15 years later you two would be working again on General Hospital?
I know. It was so good.
Instead of having an interaction of being a love interest or anything on GH, it turns out that she's just growing your character as far as being a lawyer and stuff.
right.
But
I love her.
But
yeah, I love her. And beyond loving her, she's a great actor too.
Right, right. I agree. I agree too. I normally don't agree with some of her tweets when it comes to politics, but you know, in this day of age, you take what you can, especially with the way things are going in Washington nowadays. And I'll be happy when November comes, or 2024 comes, depending on how you look at it. But anyway.
I admire anybody that speaks their mind and is articulate. And the thing about Nancy is, you know, she's both. You know, she's not afraid. And she's really someone who can communicate well. And I've always admired that in her. I think it's funny, you know, when people, and believe me, I hear a lot of this over the years, you know. It's like if a basketball player, or baseball player has an opinion about something beyond the game, it's like people say shut up and play or shut up and dribble, whatever. And you know, like when Joaquin Phoenix at the end of the Oscars, you know, made a plea for people to pull together for justice and to be honoring other people in the society that are actually going out of their way to seek justice on a multitude of fronts, right? When he actually used his the high point of his career, when the room full of the most important people in his business stood up to cheer him, he told them to stop. And he wanted to say what was in his heart instead of basking in their praise. And what he said, I mean, personally, that brought me to tears. And what I think is that a person who can perform characters like the character he gave us in Joker, where you're watching a human being that is so profoundly wounded that they can't do anything but finally lash out. When you can play a character like that as brilliantly as he did, it's because in your real life, you actually are concerned about such things. It's not like you're just some fancy actor who lives in some mansion who waits for the next big high-paying job, and you don't give a damn what's really going on in the world. It's just
right.
The opposite. It's someone who so
That's
profoundly
right.
cares about what's going on in the world that he can deliver those kind of performances, which is why everybody who actually does acting for a living recognized what he did as sort of a miracle. And even though they didn't like the movie enough to give it much of love on any other level, it was very clear that that man was going to get rewarded for the best performance. So,
I couldn't agree with you anymore.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you anymore. But
thank you, brother.
But hopefully, like Carly said, we can get you back on daytime. Hopefully sooner or later we can see you back on daytime. Maybe we might see your daughter back on daytime. Who knows? Maybe if they age Ariana again to adult, maybe she might be perfect in a couple of years. But it would be interesting. Anyways, I'll let you get to other calls because I'm sure David and Maggie wants to talk to you. So you have a good night.
Well, thank you, Bobby. Appreciate your words, brother.
All right.
Okay,
thanks.
Bobby, I will put you back on hold. And I will bring David, the best PO agent ever that got you back on here. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing? And Carly's
embarrassing
me.
I'm good. How are you?
Carly's embarrassing me. I'm doing all right. I'm doing great.
Good.
I'm doing great.
Good.
But Carly's embarrassing me. I'm the great PR. I just love what I'm doing. We need you back on daytime badly. Yeah, we miss you.
Oh, thank you.
So.
Thank you.
And
I miss it. I love it.
Yeah. You're all in the family. What's like working on All in the Family? Yeah. You know, you're on All in the Family in the IT space.
Yeah, I did have a handful of episodes on that show just around the time that the kids were leaving. I think it was the last season. It was called All in the Family, and it was just about to switch over and become Archie's Place or
Archie's
Place, Archie's
yeah,
place
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
So I was kind of right in there at the end. I was playing a I was playing like a helper at his bar, you know, like his stock boy, his janitor,
yes,
or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, I remember. I know you. I saw that episode. I remember. Yes. How you remember?
Yeah, I loved it.
You also worked with John Wayne. Who was I working with him? John Wayne.
Well,
he's amazing,
you know,
youngster.
Man, the dude was huge. I mean, you know, in every way, he was like physically huge. I mean, you know, massively huge, massively tall, massively thick. And of course, beyond that, just like the idea of him was so big, right? Just,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, he was a mythical character. And when we were little kids, I mean, all growing up, we saw all of his movies because he was one of my daddy's two favorite actors. It was John Wayne and Cantinflas, from Mexico, the comedian. And so we saw every John Wayne movie, and it was like, we'd be at the drive-in watching it and fall asleep on the way home. So my parents started making us wear our pajamas to the drive-in so they wouldn't have to like undress us and dress us when we got home. So then I started having to, whenever I'd have to sneak into the snack bar between movies, I would hope that nobody from school would see me in my pajamas, you know. I just felt like a little kid around John Wayne when I finally met him. I kept feeling like that little kid who was wearing his pajamas. So it was intimidating for me to try to act normal, around the dude. I didn't know, you know, I didn't feel comfortable about how I was supposed to act around the dude. I'll tell you, man, it was something.
I come at you like what great acting like John Wayne. Also, my favorite movie, as you know, is Curse of Turkey, Chucky. I watched that movie over and over again, Curse of Turkey.
You
were great in that movie. You were great in that movie.
Thank you.
Very good. So,
when you do that Chucky movie, you get opened up to a whole other world. That's a whole other, like, culture of people. You know, that fan base is so over.
I know.
Have you watched them all?
Yeah, I definitely. I've seen all Chucky's. I've seen all of them. I'm a big Chucky fan, so I was surprised to see you in
it's
it.
Hard to beat Chucky.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
I was surprised, too.
And then he got killed. Wait, he killed you off.
I got killed pretty quick.
Yes.
I got pretty. Actually, a friend of mine got mad at me because he's a little bit kind of anxious, you know? He doesn't, you know, he's a little bit nervous about things in life in general. And so, you know, he heard I was in the movie. He said, "You were really in that Chucky movie?" I go, "Yeah." So he's alone at his house. And I didn't tell him what happened to my character because I'm not going to give it away. You know, it's like I can't give it away, right? I just figure anybody knows if you're in a Chucky movie, your character's probably not going to do too good. You know, I mean,
I agree.
So he was really mad at me because when my character had his horrible exit from the story, it really upset him. He's like my friend, and I guess it's a measure that he thought I was doing good acting because he felt it like emotionally. He felt like he was watching me die, and so he was pretty mad, man. And I'm thinking, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to give it away? I just assumed he would know, you know. He forgave me finally.
My favorite scene was y'all eating, where she draw eating. I know it's about that scene where he showed y'all close up y'all eating. You know, he plays me in the food.
Mm-hmm. They did a great job of shooting that, I thought. Yeah, yeah.
I agree. One of my favorite chickies. Oh yeah. So,
Have you ever watched Longmire, David?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, you should check it out, man. You would like it. It's on Netflix. It's 6 seasons. You know, it's a modern Western. You know, and the dude who plays the hero of it is just the greatest guy. It's one of those things where. Where you look and you go, wow, this actor who's playing this part, in this case, his name is Walt Longmire. He's the sheriff of this county in Wyoming. You look at this actor, and he's been around for 30 years or so. But you look at this dude playing this one part, and you think, okay, this actor was born to play this character. It's like the most perfect match. That you know, sometimes you look at a movie and you see, oh, that's a good performance, right? But I could think of, like, some other actors who could have done that part really well, too, you know. But this dude, his name is Robert Taylor, who played Walt Longmire. He did that character as if it were his skin, man. It was just the most phenomenal match of an actor and a character that I've seen since, you know, when I years ago I got to do a movie called Powwow Highway, where my friend Gary Farmer played, you know, Filbert in Powwow Highway, and you're looking to go, yep, that's the only actor I could ever imagine playing that part as good as that, you know. So I recommend Longmire to you, man.
Okay, I definitely will check it out. I definitely will.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
And when you're not working, what do you like to do when you're not working?
I write. I'm trying to get a series together, man. I've been working on it for 3.5 years. I got the pilot written.
Wow.
And I've been working on the Bible right now. I'm working on the Bible, which is a document that you have to provide if you want somebody to give you enough money to make, you know, like a pilot. You have to basically give them a document that explains what's going to happen over the course of the whole show. So, you know, that's a big undertaking. That's why they call it the Bible. You know, it's like the overview of everything. And it's the first time I've ever written one. So, I'm making some rookie mistakes and having to go back and redo things a lot. But that's what I'm working on, and I'm really proud of it. I think it's, you know, I mean, obviously I can't pretend that I'm objective, but I think it's really good. I think people will love it, and I think it's the kind of show, if I get to make it, that will be the kind of show that people don't forget. So that's what I do constantly with all my free time now, especially because I've gotten older and I don't have a sense that I have an unlimited amount of time in front of me anymore. I gotta make my case, speak my piece while I'm still going, you know. So that's what I'm doing, man, all the time. Yeah.
That's great.
It's good to have a job. Even if you have to make a job for yourself.
Yeah. That's great. Well, thank you for coming on. Please come back anytime.
For reaching out to me, David. I've been I have a lot of people saying, hey, I've been trying to get in touch with you and you're not responsive. And the truth is sometimes I just don't even look into my message folder. I have a lot of people that are asking me to be involved in stuff. And if I pay attention to everything all the time, I literally can't do what I need to do, which is write.
Yeah.
And I apologize for taking so long to respond to this in a positive way, but I'm really glad you kept after me.
Hey, thank you. We love you here at Daytime and Stuck.
Well, I love you, David. Thank you, man. Very much.
Okay, you put Maggie on now. I'm done.
Okay, David.
So
I will. Okay.
Hi. How you doing,
Maggie?
Oh, I'm totally
Maggie.
Enjoying this. Hi. I'm totally enjoying this. You can definitely do anything you put your mind to.
Exactly.
They're going to pick it up.
Bless your heart. I try.
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead. What are you going to say?
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say every role you've played has always been a different character. And I think you bring a lot to the picture. So I would think you would be able to write a pilot.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's really fun, you know. And, of course, I get to do it way more often than I actually ever get in the movies or TV shows because every time you get an audition, you know, you have to build a character. And it's sort of like something that I get to do all the time. And I know sometimes people think, oh, wow, man, it's, you know, some casting directors who are aware of my career almost seem like
weird.
They think they're embarrassed to ask me to come and audition. But the truth is, I love to audition because it lets me act, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I also noticed that there's some casting directors that are like assistants for companies that have been around a while. You know, like I went on an audition about 3 weeks ago where the woman who was operating the camera and the man who was reading with me, was playing the role, they were both in their 20s. And they
wow.
were both really good. The actor was just a wonderful actor. And she was really friendly, the woman who was running the camera, and there was beautiful light. You know, they were really respectful of the actors. But they didn't know who I was. You know, I could tell they were saying, well, so you go by A? I go, yeah. You know, what's that about? I said, well, it's, you know, it's like a nickname from my father, and it became my name, and, you know, that's what I go by. And so they sort of were a little bit kind of curious and perplexed about me. And then I had two scenes to do with them. And I did the first scene, you know, there was beautiful writing, and like I say, this guy, the other guy I was acting with was wonderful. So the audition started great, you know, the first scene was just really great. And the woman stopped the camera, and she just stared at me, and she said, "Wow, you have a really nice face." I said, "Well, thank you. I appreciate you. You said something nice about my face. You know, it's actually been around a long time." And she goes, "Oh, no, you don't look old. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's really nice." I said, "Oh, no, I appreciate the compliment, you know. I appreciate you saying that." But what I loved about it, you know, in the course of then doing that and then doing the other scene, is that people who didn't know me at all, at least they don't remember me from anything, they got to watch me do something really great, and they really appreciated it. And the next time that they hear my name, they'll actually know who I am, so... You know, that was like a small kind of grace about that day. It's fun to do.
See, you got another fan.
Yeah, whatever it takes, you know.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's wonderful. These are their 20s or something, and she wouldn't remember the different shows you were in. So now you got a new fan.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good
out,
thing, you know. And also, whenever I do these things, and that was another example of it, you know, I'll try to get one of my kids or else Leslie to actually work with me on preparing so that I can do better, because I've actually heard the words said out loud in the room when I'm rehearsing. It's not all in my head, and so I get to work with my family in preparing, you know. And of course, you know, like that particular 10 minutes that I spent with those two people, I had worked on that for probably 3-4 hours with Devin. You know, with her running it with me and giving me feedback about what she thought about the things I was doing. So I had the advantage of getting to work with a wonderful actor who happens to be my daughter in preparing. But even that, just the work of preparing, it's, you know, it's really fun, Maggie. It's like, you know, it's why people like to be actors in the first place, is because you get to like pretend in a really fun way. Love it.
Exactly. That makes sense. I mean, I'm so glad your daughter's following. What is she doing right now, though? Is she making movies or anything?
Well, she's been, she's working for this company out of London, actually, that does management consulting, where they'll go to big companies and train them about how to get the best out of their employees and stuff. And one of the things one of the ways they do that is they do scripted drama. They actually do stories that explain that, you know, that play scenes about between people in the company talking to each other, where there's differences in power and differences in job descriptions and stuff, and it's a lot of interesting scene work, and it includes like doing scenes that show how if you take this approach you get this feedback from the person next to you, but if you do this approach you get this other kind of feedback, and which would you think would be better. And then eventually she started
graduating from acting in those gigs to writing them. So she's become an actor slash writer for that company. So she's doing that a lot. But I know it really doesn't satisfy her on the level of working in the classic business.
Production.
So, you know, she's looking for stuff. She's done some plays and she's done some readings and, you know, she's in the game, keeping her voice together, keeping herself together. Both she and Rin are very much committed to being actors and musicians. So they're working at it all the time, although it doesn't necessarily show too much right now in the public realm.
Mm-hmm. Well, because once you're living out
one of the cool things that's happening. Say again?
When she's on Ryan R, she's having a baby on it. And there was just something about her.
Yeah.
You're drawn to her for some reason. You know, different characters, different people you see, and you get drawn to them. And she really got to me.
Yeah.
Well, that's
me
really
too.
Nice
I agree.
I'll tell her you said that.
Please do. Oh, I really.
Yeah, I will.
She was in a possible situation, and she just brought it across like, I've been doing this all my life. You know, it's like, it was second nature for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. She's really, really good. I know. Yeah. And I know that right after, while she was doing it, when it first aired, she was up in San Francisco working on this corporate gig, actually. And she went to the bathroom. She was at a Warriors game, Golden State Warriors game. And she went to the bathroom and some people in line went, Oh my God, it's you. You're on Warner. Oh my God, we love that young girl. We love her so much. You know, and this is like, I think she'd been on once or twice, right? And then she was already getting recognized in public. And they were making a big deal, so all the other people were around looking, trying to figure out what's going on with this, you know. It was like really a sweet, sweet moment. It made me so happy.
Very sweet
that
moment.
She got that after. Yeah, it was really cool.
She deserves it. She
brought
it across.
It's a nice
thing, you know. And do you read your lines with your daughter or anybody else in the family or just the wife or anything?
Say again.
Nobody?
Say
you're
again?
Practicing lines when you go on.
I try not to abuse people who are tired, you know, because, I mean, everybody's doing their own stuff. And then I go, oh, by the way, would you mind, like, giving me a couple of hours of your undivided attention, you know? People, you know, it's not, I try not to abuse them in that regard, but they do help me out a lot. And
that's right. You're
know,
a daddy.
It's something. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And plus, you know, in my writing, Leslie is a really great ally. As is Devin too. As is Ren. I mean, as is Dick. They all are. If I share what I've written with them, they will tell me things I need to hear. You know, they will be honest about what they think needs to be better, and they will be honest about what they like. You know, so that's a tremendous advantage.
Wow.
I know. You know that guy, the guy who writes the novels. That the Longmire show is based on a series of novels by an author named Craig Johnson. And what he does is he basically writes. He writes a book every single year for 15 years in a row. He's written one of these books every single year, and they're great books. But what he does is, as he's writing it, he basically he'll write something and then he'll give it to his wife and say, "What do you think?" You know. And the same thing, she gives him the straight talk. You know, she doesn't pretend that she likes it if she doesn't, and if she likes it, she lets him know. So it's a great advantage, you know, to be around people that, you know, will help you and tell you the truth. It's always what you're looking for.
It's your craft, and you need real feedback. I mean, you don't want to say, "Oh yeah, Dave, you're doing a great job." If you're not, you know.
Yeah,
but not that you cannot do a good job, but it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Longmire, I'm really enjoying it. I myself watch it a lot. And the man that plays the older man on the show, the man you talked about earlier, what's his name? He looks so familiar when I first put on when I first started Longmire.
Are you talking about the character of Longmire?
Mm-hmm. What's his name? His real name.
His real name is Robert Taylor.
Oh, Robbie Taylor. Okay, thank you. I know it was a Taylor, but I couldn't remember.
Yeah, the guy who plays Walt. Yeah, and there was a movie star by the name of Robert Taylor many, many years ago.
Even a years ago, my mother's right.
Yeah, and occasionally somebody will think, he can't. I thought he was dead, but no, the guy. I think Robert, the one who plays Walt, has been in the business for at least 30 years. I know he was in the Matrix movies, all three of those movies. He was one of the
That's where he looked familiar.
That's it. He was there was like three guys who dressed in black and had black shades on and stuff, and there was the one main guy, and then they had two like deputies, and Rob was one of his deputies. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, because when I first saw the Warmer, I'm looking at him, I'm going, I know this man, but he was so believable in the part he's playing. I go, I can't think of who he, what he's, they said Matrix. Thank you. You answered that question for me.
I know, it's really interesting. I know, and you know, when I see him in a performance now without his hat on, playing some character who doesn't wear a cowboy hat, I'm thinking, something's missing here. What's wrong with this? He's totally taken over that character.
Boy, he sure has. Yeah. I mean, it's like you forget that after playing, like you do, you're not an actor. You're just, that's your role. That's what you're doing. It's real.
Yeah.
At least to me, it's real.
Exactly. Well, that's a sign that it worked if it seems real.
Yeah, and I did love the Chucky movies. Okay, I've watched all of those. I like those kind of movies. The one that scares me is Freddy Krueger.
Nightmare
on Elm Street or something. Is that what franchise is
Freddy Krueger with Nightmare? No, not Nightmare on Elm Street. I think
Friday the 13th.
No, he's the one that sleeps up in your dreams. Not Freddy Krueger. No, what's the guy that sleeps up on your dreams? That's the one I'm trying to think of. He wants your dreams. He plays a character. I think it's Freddy Krueger. I don't know. But whatever that is, the one that bugs you in your dreams, that's the one I can't watch. I think I only watch one of them, and I get too scared. I can't watch anything else.
Yeah, you don't want to watch something that's going to mess up your dreams.
Exactly.
You don't want to do that.
I like to keep my dreams to myself, and I have me coming in there. And he goes, but the Chucky movies, I'm a doll person, so they really fit into me really well.
When I was a kid, and then later after that, they did remade it, but there was a movie called Invasion of the Body Snatchers. It was about
these
aliens who had come, and the giant seed pods, and and the seed pods would have like the kind of protoplasm in it that would be like a copy of every person on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fell asleep, that's when they'd switch you out. So I'm thinking, oh no, this is great. This terrifying movie, and the whole hook of it is you don't dare fall asleep, right?
So a little kid,
you're thinking, I'm afraid to go to sleep. It was such a realistic movie. And then I saw it years later. And I thought, this movie isn't as good as I remembered it being as a little kid.
Yeah.
It was easy.
Why is it that way?
Yeah, which is a relief. Yeah. I liked it. I loved it, though. I always loved good reason to get scared.
Wow.
Do you agree that he should be back on the soaps?
Definitely. I wish Ray DeLuca was still alive. I want him back.
That's amazing that people still remember Ray DeLuca.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, and I have one of my greatest ideas with Maggie knows when it's really one of my greatest ideas. People should be scared, right, Maggie? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think you and Jay Eddie should team up and write something and work on something. Work on a movie. Mm-hmm. It would be awesome. It would be great. He could work with his fired hero, which is you. And then I get the benefit of It was my idea, and I get the benefit to promote it and have both of you on at the same time.
Hmm. Well, there you go. That's a tidy package right there. But you know, all I say is, you know, I'm trying to. I mean, normally, what a person in my position, I shouldn't say that. I should say what I normally have done is basically just try to make the best of the opportunities that people put in front of me. But I've lately, like I said, I've been trying to actually make something happen for myself now that I've gotten older and I actually have the stories that I want to tell instead of just hiring myself out to tell somebody else's story over and over again. So I'm making an effort, you know, and I've got a couple of things that I'm working on, and we'll see what happens.
Well,
but I just try to let people know that, you know, I'm available to work, and when I work, you know, I'm generally an asset to a company. I'm not problematic. I'm not, you know, unpleasant experience working with me. Yeah, well,
you're all popular. I'm sorry, you're number one. You know, you could lie about this radio host. It's kind of crazy, and this would be me. And but you too. You and they could. Oh my God, play the actors. It could be a really good little sitcom. I mean, hey, I'm trying to get you guys back on. I'm trying to do my job by getting you guys back on TV any way I can, so the brilliant ideas come in my head, right, Maggie? And sometimes I have to run ideas for Maggie before I come up with them because, she pulls me back. She totally does.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for coming on and spending the hour with us. And
it's really
been
a pleasure.
Yeah, and please come back. You're gonna come back, right? Because you cannot be a stranger anymore. Because we missed you, right, Maggie?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have Rachel a little bit back. I gotta talk to you.
I really enjoy
yes.
it and I'm so glad that you guys are keeping on. It's really good that you're doing that. So, bless your hearts and thank you for making me feel so welcome. And
we love you.
To the next time we get to talk.
Thank you. Maybe you can bring your daughter with you.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'd do it. Yeah.
You know, the two of you for the interview. How would that be? I would love that. And
best of luck
to her.
I will mention it to her.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you for calling in. And whenever you get a new project, tell David and we will. Bring you on to promote it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye. Have a good night.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that's right. He's in California. I'm thinking it's nighttime. It's not nighttime yet.
He did say he would come back on, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, and he'll be with his daughter. I want to see her.
Okay.
See her again. Hear her
Maggie.
Again.
Maggie.
Yes.
I think the movie you were referring to A, just a minute ago, that was Nightmare on Elm Street. It was Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah,
it's Freddy Krueger.
I don't watch those films. I couldn't get past Jason Takes Manhattan, Friday the 13th, and Cycle 3. I'm known film I thought that was interesting, that was kind of scary, but I kind of just got over was the first Poltergeist movie.
Mm-hmm.
Even watching Michael Jackson Thriller for 21 minutes, all I knew it was just basically Michael Jackson's song on loop for 21 minutes and not the a horror film put into it. That was the closest thing to a horror film I would get is the Michael Jackson Thriller video.
Well, okay, and before we go for the night... Before we go for the night, I have a couple of hints before we go. Okay, and there won't be a Friday, so. Number one, what?
General Hospital was good, and I'm glad Willow finally took it to Nell, because Nell deserves to get it. She should have been dead, because I figure if we can put Jan Spears on Days of Our Lives in a coma for 25 years, why can't we just done the same thing for Nell?
I'm behind. I'm behind.
Okay, here's my rant before we go. I have a rant.
All right, go on.
All okay, right. Number one, stop it, people, that, Comey made it about herself yesterday. BS, okay? She was doing what any mother would do, and she was standing up for her son, and grabbed the little creep. You know, do I feel sorry for his little ass? No, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't. Him and Nell set this whole thing in motion, and I want Julian to go down too, and I hope to God he does. And number two, stop picking up my call late, or I will come after you. And I came after people on Twitter. And number two, how dare you, the judge of the Robert Stone case, give him 40 months, but maybe an extra 27 months? This is laughable.
It is.
A guy that stood a leather jacket got 19 years, but this creep only gets 30 months?
Mm-hmm.
Roger Stone?
Yeah.
Are
you done, Carly? Because I was going to say to Maggie, I think half of one hour, and I think half a day was missed, because around here we had snow coverage and snow updates that interrupted Days and Y&R when it came out at 4. So I wouldn't know anything. Because we were dealing with snow while the rest of the country was dealing with this garbage about 1:00, interrupting The Price is Right and Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives and the Michael Strahan afternoon show that he does.
Over here, we had Rod Deloy that's getting out of jail, and that's what they had on TV during The Young and the Restless and during Days. And there's really exciting parts, but they get it back on TV in progress, right? Can't they just extend the time a little and let me see what I missed?
Yeah, they did this with General Hospital a few weeks ago after the Monday trial, the impeachment, put half of it on for them. And I can understand putting it on at 1:00 in the morning, but making an announcement during the evening news on the fly when your DVR couldn't record, I was lucky to just get that instead of Tamron Hall or Infomercial or World News Overnight or whatever the overnight show that comes on before the morning news.
Right.
You know, Bobby, I wasn't done. My man was far from mobile. Right, David?
Continue. I'm sorry.
Okay. And number three, come on, Zoids. We need to come back with the guilty for so Harvey Weinstein. You've been out too long. It's starting to scare me. And, you know, and do not tell me what happened on Zoids today, because I haven't seen it. But I am so sick and tired of people picking on our Sonny and Jason and Carly and Sam. I am so sick of you. You know, I'm a Franco and Julian fans were whipping on my Carly yesterday. I'm sorry, but yesterday was the best episode I've seen in a while. And my Stone Cold is back. And Sonny is back. And bring on the Mambo, because, baby, Sonny and Jason are taking names and taking you down. Right, Maggie?
Mm-hmm. Right. They will not allow drugs in Port Charles. And he's going to stick to it, and he always will. And that guy, you've got to see today. I'll shut up now.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Like I said earlier, Nell got what she deserved and should have been knocked into a coma by Will. Because I figured if this happened on Days of Our Lives with Jan Spears and she doesn't wake up for 15 years, I don't see why it could not happen for now.
Now he needs to go down for the trash CNC gaslighting, Carly. Okay, and now she did this. This thing to pay for every ounce in her, and you know, going to jail. No, not sending her in jail. Have Sunny and they can finally kill the bitch.
Right.
If Nell was smart, she
would just return the baby back. Enough said. Turn herself in. At least what I saw with what happened on All My Children, at least Kelly Kramer was smart enough to return AJ back to JR and Babe at the time.
Right.
So if it can work. So
my goodness.
I'm not trying to root for Nell to do this, but this is one time I have to root for her to just do this and then just have her get the hell out of town.
Really?
I just want her to just return the baby back to Michael and then just get the hell out of town and go to jail or get gunned down by one of Sonny's henchmen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby, it's time for her to pay.
That's what I'm talking about.
She stole Carly's grandson.
That's what he's saying.
And Gabe, well, I know that, but all I'm saying is, if I were the boys right now, I would take her out and be done with it. Regardless if, you know, she's Jonah's mother. Regardless if she's, you know, Jonah Wiley's mother. Regardless of that, after what she did, she's not a mother. You know, send her and Ava down the river.
Right.
Problem
solved. I'm still not getting the Nicholas Ava pairing because everybody can say, oh, Ava is redeeming herself. No way she is redeeming herself. I will never forget her for anything else. Maybe I forgive her for what happened with Kiki and everything else, but this doesn't mean anything. Just like with Nell. I'm not going to cheer her. Now, if you can get the actress that play her on down the road, I will probably be nice to her and not bash her completely.
I guess I'm on the Ava and Nell fan around here. I'm going to tell you when they're right. I mean, Nell fan.
But David, you're smart. But you really are smart because, you know, debating me on Nell won't get you anymore because when you gaslight my Carly, you're going to die. You're going to pay. And when you take her grandson away, there needs to be payment. And she needs to just be done with. And, you know, Chloe Rao is a great actress. I give her that. That's all I will give her. But what she did to...
We work on getting her on the show. I know
Bobby,
it's hard to get her on social media.
Bobby?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a new rule. We cannot talk over each other But all I'm saying is Nell needs to be taken out and Zillian needs to be taken out because when Sunny puts two and two together about Zillian and Brad talking, that's going to be the best episode because not only Sonny can finally hear Zillian what a piece of crap he is, and Susan's going to be angry as hell as with her father. No one is going to want to save Zillian's worthless life for anyone. No one's going to want to save him. I mean, Ava, but who counts Ava? I don't. By making...
I do.
Okay.
With Bobby and I today, I wanted Willow to beat the shit out of Nell and put her in a coma. I really wanted that bad.
I said yesterday about that with Willow.
Mm-hmm. I wanted her to hit her so hard.
I know.
Put her in a coma.
my heart
no.
with the Willow. But
mine does too.
What I loved about yesterday's episode, when Carly was the one that said, oh my God, it was sudden and sudden. What's the word making sudden? You know, when a baby died suddenly, you know, what happened to you? And Carly took the room like a queen that she is. And the way Bobby looked, the way Sam grabbed Bobby's hand, it wasn't like Carly was making this about herself. She was not. And number two, everyone in the room was shocked, except Duran and Brad. So pretty much everyone was taking in this news. So when there's a big news, you're processing it in your head, and you can't speak. You know, oh, if, you know, Colleen and I are so much alike, I would have probably exploded on Brad. You know, and Brad would have probably have worse day for me because I would have just kicked him in the balls. And who really cares about if he can have kids? Really? If I kick him in the balls a couple of times, who cares? No, I was told by someone I love and respect, it's really bad to kick guys in the balls if they want to have what?
Me, I told you.
Yeah, if they want to have kids. But Brad's off the table.
Ouch.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
no,
yeah.
I blame, well, as far as I'm concerned, what I don't understand what Brad did today is he didn't put Julian under the bus, which I think he should have gone under the bus.
Remember, your daughter hasn't seen it.
Well, yeah, I'm not
yeah,
seeing it.
I haven't seen it either. I'm behind a month and a half.
I wasn't going to take chances with watching today's show because of the snow coverage that we got right now. It already interrupted.
But
Sonny's going to
figure it out because Sonny's going to remember the conversation. And Sonny is not going to let this rest. Jason will not let this rest. Jason, you know, is also Michael's father. Also, and all these things, people on Facebook was bringing up Carly's past about AJ and whatever. Carly did the human right thing by getting Michael away from the kids. The kids on their best day can barely take care of themselves. And what they were going to do was Michael pass the baby along to the nanny? Really? Really? So... So I'm sick of people bringing up Carly, you know, what she did, how she stood Michael from AJ. No, she never stood her son from AJ. Okay, Sonny might have blackmailed AJ, okay, and that resulted in the miscarriage. But number two, leave my girl past alone because she has seen she's grown up. She has grown so much, unlike some other characters, Brad, Julian, Neil, Ava. That's my point. But we better go because I don't want to lose my voice. And, Mr. PR guy, when is the next show?
It'll be
when
next.
Do we have a guest? What?
I've got Tina next week. We've got Tina Sloan, I think, next Thursday.
Yeah.
And Leslie Era next Friday, 28th.
Okay. And all I want to say is, we do one on Tuesday and we do one tonight. And Megan, you agree with me. Two shows this week is enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And plus, I'm going to be in Myrtle Beach, so.
Yeah, and you're leaving for your trip. And remember your job, Bobby. You're supposed to tell Justin, Ned, Wally. You're supposed to say, I have to give you a hug because if I don't, and I come back on the show, Carly won't talk to me ever again. Okay. And actually, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I was giving him a hug.
Bobby needs to hug him.
I don't
know.
Maybe
yes.
Maybe you can tell Bobby I'm serious.
Yeah, next Thursday, I'm Tina's phone.
I'm not going to kiss him.
Next Friday,
I don't think I'm that desperate to kiss him. I'm not that type
of
guy. So I'll just make sure
I give him a hug. A bro
hug
is cool. Yes. Two of them.
Okay, fine.
Two of them.
Say
hi.
What about me?
Bye. Yeah.
What about me?
Yeah.
And thanks for everything tonight, you guys. And in Monday, the Kobe Bryant for you?
24th.
Memorial.
Memorial.
Okay, fine. Okay.
But I remember when Michael Jackson died, it was all over the place, and it was kind of confusing for what shows were on, because some of the shows that aired didn't even air until overnight, and others didn't even air at all. So I had trouble trying to find some of the shows after the Michael Jackson thriller because of
for Kobe.
I'm not sure how
for Kobe. I would understand it if they took off the soaps, because for Kobe, who was the Lakers, and he helped so many people, and he was a wonderful basketball player. And for him and his daughter die in the airplane crash, well, helicopter crash, no one should have been flying that morning. You know, I'm not going to get mad if they take my soap off that day, because, you know, people want to see the memorial, and, okay, it's a memorial. Excuse me, I forgot.
Right.
You know, they always had the private, you know, funeral, which I think the family had the right to have their privacy. And, of course,
because they've done several memorials already. They did one before a Lakers game a couple weeks ago. They did one at the All-Star game, and they're doing one now. So I figure, the man's a legend. No doubt, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame this year. That's my prediction. I don't care what the critics say. He's got to be in the Hall of Fame.
Maybe in the Hall of Fame, they do it like.
As you retired.
They can't do this young, though, can they?
After you retire,
I remember when Jordan retired, it took him a couple of years before he got selected. As opposed to what would happen if he then came back to play basketball for Washington, and it would have been a little bit shorter. Anyways, let me get back, because I'm watching the Bulls game with the Hornets play-by-play.
Thank you.
So
am I.
I got to get back to the Bulls game, and I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, Carly. Good night, Bobby. Good night, Maggie.
Night.
Love y'all.
Night.